Over the past weeks, we've been looking at the subject of sharing our testimony. In the Scriptures, the Apostle Paul, one day as he's writing to the Romans, said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." And yet I find sometimes, you find Christians, they're sometimes a little ashamed to share because they don't understand really the... Sometimes they're a little hung up on how to do it, and sometimes they just are a little timid. And Paul was not timid. We need to move past the timidity. We don't want to be obnoxious, but we need to be able to speak into people's lives because they desperately need the Lord Jesus. Now, we've talked over the weeks about the two types of testimonies. One is a testimony of how God's walked with you and you've walked with Him in life. The other one that we want to focus on today is when you began your walk with the Lord Jesus. So that's what we're going to be looking at. Now, a testimony is something that we share, and there's a reason for that. John wrote in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." That's the reason we share, because we want people to come along with us in this journey with Jesus. We found it to be a wonderful place of walking in God's kingdom. We need to know what to speak. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." So we need to make sure that we watch how we do it. And we're even told how to speak. In Colossians, Paul says, "Let your speech always be with grace." You know what that means? That's not being harsh on a person. You can't argue somebody into the kingdom of God. It doesn't work. You can't beat somebody. They've got to want to come. You can't hold a sword to their throat and say, "Become a Christian or else." Because that negates coming by faith. So your speech should be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. So we pray and ask God to give us that. Now, there's a great example of giving a testimony. It's found in the book of Acts, and it's chapter 26. The setting is that Paul had been arrested in Jerusalem and was now at Caesarea, and he was going to be on trial, and the Sanhedrin and the priest, high priest, didn't like what he was saying about Jesus, so they were trying to get him killed, trying to get him executed. And so he's up, and he's talking to the governor, whose name is Festus. He's the Roman governor of the area. And he's talking to King Agrippa. King Agrippa was the son of a king that was around in Jesus' day. And he's in his 30s. He's kind of cocky. And he's talking with these two. When Festus found that Agrippa was in the area, Festus didn't have any understanding of the Jewish concepts. And so he brings King Herod in, hoping to find out, what do we charge Paul with? Because I don't understand all this. And so now Paul is standing before them. So if we could have the sound up, Ben, for the music. I want you to listen to this. And I'm going to be pointing out on the screen several things that he said. Because you're going to find Paul follows a pattern that we can follow when we share our testimony about how we came to Jesus Christ.
Then Agrippa said to Paul,
"You are permitted to speak for yourself."
So Paul stretched out his hand and answered,
"I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because today I shall answer for myself before you concerning all the things of which I am accused by the Jews, especially because you are expert in all customs and questions which have to do with the Jews. Therefore I beg you to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was spent from the beginning among my own nation at Jerusalem, all the Jews know. They knew me from the first if they were willing to testify that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers. To this promise, our 12 tribes, earnestly serving God night and day, hope to attain. For this hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused by the Jews. Why should it be thought incredible by you that God raises the dead? Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, along the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So I said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. For these reasons, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand, witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead, and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles.
And so we have Paul's testimony. Kind of neat, wasn't it? You know, what he did in his testimony was he talked about what his life was like before he met Jesus. Did you catch that? I was a Pharisee, persecuted the church. And then the second thing he did was he talked about how he met the Lord. I was going on a task and this great light, and he spoke to me and told me what I was supposed to do. And then he told what he's been doing since he met the Lord, what's been going on since that drastic change in his life. So that would be what I would like to suggest that we're going to do as we set forth today to do this, to share our testimony. Want to do it to be able to do it short. The other day I gave my testimony in about a minute and a half to somebody. And had a little bit more time than I can get it down to 30 seconds. But about a minute and a half, so I was able to just share that in the minute and a half time. It's always easy to expand. You understand that? If you want to go for 5 minutes, if you want to go for 10 minutes, that's not hard to do. Getting it down succinctly is the part that's a little bit more difficult. So what I want you to do is I want you to think about, because we're going to try this out today, I want you to think about what it was it like before you met the Lord. What caused you to understand your need for Jesus Christ? Generally, there's some situation that brings us to that. There's something that's happening. And maybe it's a culmination of a lot of things. You don't need to go into great detail. Did you notice Paul didn't go into great, great detail? And so we just talk about that. What was going on? What was in your life? When I was growing up, I heard people give testimonies. The ones I heard give testimonies, they were axe murderers. They were car thieves. I mean, they were really rotten people who came to Jesus. And I had a problem because I wasn't that rotten. You know, I mean, I thought I had no testimony. But we all have a testimony. There's something that brings us to the point of saying, I need the Lord Jesus. And so whatever that is, you can share that. And then when we go to share about how we met the Lord, What I like to do is recognize how I was in a state of rebellion against the Lord. I was choosing to go my own way, and it wasn't working real good. And that's true for all of us, right? We were walking away from God. And then I heard that God would forgive me for the things I'd done against Him because Jesus died for me. And then I asked to be forgiven and asked God then to take over my life and direct me in my life. And that's how I met Jesus. Those are just simple little things. And so those are maybe things that you can talk about. You don't have to go into great detail. Again, remember, we can always go into great detail. It's shrinking it down that's the harder part. So we want to do that. And then, when you're doing this, you need to be careful because it's real easy to give the impression that Jesus is just a problem solver. He just takes care of you. You got a problem? Go to Jesus. Well, salvation's a whole lot more than just having Jesus solve one problem, right? I mean, I find many times for friends that I'm praying for who don't know the Lord, they'll find out He can solve a problem and then they keep moving on in their own way. And they get another problem, you know, and I pray for them and God solves that problem. And then there's another problem because most people want to find God to be the magic genie who you rub the lamp right and He takes care of your matters. But that's not who God is. God's not a genie. God's somebody who wants to have a relationship with Him. So as I'm doing that, I try and make sure that they understand that they need to come to Him to forgive their sins and to take control of their life. Because He'll guide them if He'll let them. And the life will be different than where they were heading on their own. And then, lastly, you need to just let them know what's happened since you came. And I give one or two examples. Since you've come to Jesus Christ, describe how that's changed your life. Because when He came, I mean, it really made a difference in your life, didn't it? Right? So, those are some things I want you to do. Now, let me just help you consider two areas. The first one is, if you came to the Lord as an early child, you know, you can't go around singing, "I was sinking deep in sin far from the peaceful shore." Because you weren't that far away when you... I mean, I understand, you were depraved. I understand that. Everybody's depraved. But you hadn't committed a tremendous amount of horrible sin. Listen, you have a fabulous testimony because the fear is that your testimony is not much, you know, because you don't get to talk about change. But in reality, you have a fantastic testimony. Why is that, Carrie?
Because it shows to the others that it can be done.
Come here. No, stay there. Why is it important?
It's important because it shows to others that are coming to the Lord at a later time in life that it can be done, that a steady walk with God can happen in life.
That it's not a weekend event.
Right.
That it's not just something that you come to for a moment, but it lasts a long time.
Right. That it's a lasting relationship.
Yeah. You see, and you understand that? That's extremely important that they understand. Here, I've been walking with the Lord for 20 years. I mean, and they've been doing it from the time of a child. That's amazing. That shows reality. So don't you dare think if you came to the Lord at a young age, you don't have much of a testimony. That's not right. That's Satan popping you with that. You have a tremendous testimony. In fact, yours is one of the most strong because it's saying this is a reality. This isn't a simple thing, you know. It's lasted for many, many years, so that's good. So that's one area, so make sure you understand that. And if you have friends who are Christians and they feel like their testimony is not much because of that, correct them, would you? Because they need that correction. Satan is just rotten, and he'll pop that lie into their thinking that they're not worth much as far as a testimony. That's stupid. They have the strongest testimony. And then what happens if you don't exactly remember? I mean, you know, you can't just you can't nail a date down. You don't know when it happened. I don't have a particular thing. You grew up in a Christian home and you stepped into an understanding that Jesus Christ died for you. And you stepped into that understanding that your sins were forgiven. And you just can't put a date on it. That's okay. Just having a date is not that. You can just say, I found out as a little child that Jesus wanted to have a relationship with me. And again, you don't have to have all the particular. Don't let that stumble you and get you stumbling in it. So that's what we're going to do. And we're going to do this today. And I'm going to pick on somebody to have them come up here and help me with this. But this is going to be the time frame. And you're going to talk about what happened before you met the Lord, how you met the Lord, and what it's been like since you met the Lord. And Layla, could you come up? She didn't know she was going to do this. You know how it is living, being in our congregation. In our congregation, those of you who are visiting, they never know what's going to happen. And that's okay. That makes it a lot of fun, doesn't it?
Yes.
Are you scared?
What do you want me to say?
What do I want you to say? You can't be scared. Come over here, get out of the light there. All right. What we're going to do is I'm going to get you to talk to us a little bit about what your life was before you met Jesus.
You don't want to know.
Just give us a couple of things, because we have some guests here who don't know your background. So just what would you say your life was like before you met Jesus?
It was a mess. There is some personal things I don't like.
Yeah, you don't need
about.
To go into those. But what would you say to somebody, like to this crowd? What would you say that was a mess? You have
my
some that you could talk about.
My life was not right. It was not a life. It was not something you can be proud of. It was disorganized.
Disorganized?
Not legal.
Okay.
Like, it was not something that I was proud of.
Did you have a lot of joy in that life?
Not really. But I was, I tried to escape with working a lot of hours and just doing stuff I'm not supposed to do with kids.
Okay, you just were trying to escape. Okay.
All the time.
See, and there are a lot of people that are like that. They're living their life trying to escape reality. They got to go to work. They got to do that because they got to get money. But then they spend the rest of their time trying to escape the reality of life that they had. So that's a very good thing to say. So you would say, before I met Jesus Christ, my life was a mess, and I spent a lot of time just trying to escape that kind of thing. All right? Good. Now then, how did you meet Jesus? Yeah, well, tell us the story about what took place. How did you come in contact with knowing about Jesus Christ?
I was, I felt a fear. I felt like I was a victim. I did not know what to do. It was a lot of things going on in my life. And it just, God sent Nancy and Armin, you know, to my life. And it just starts praying for me and, letting me feel their love, that there is somebody who cared about me. They're giving me their love. Just the hugs from them, it meant a lot to me. That I know that somebody was there for me. Though somebody cares, he always come and check on me, what's going on, pray for me, and put his hand on me. Nobody's done that before. I was just dealing with so many things by myself. And I never felt anybody's love or anybody's care about me. I was just like, nobody cares about. She got everything she has, she can think about. But I did not have enough. I needed something in my life. I needed change. I needed love. I needed to feel that, you know, I have people around me who do want to see me all the time with them. And that's how I came to know Jesus. I never knew that, I will one day worship Jesus. Never, ever.
That was never a thought of yours?
Never, ever.
All right. And then they told you about Jesus. What did they tell you about him?
They just told me that there is somebody who forgives you, who is always there for you, that he loves you. I mean, Nancy, I hear her all the time that she's saying that Jesus loves you. I talk to her about problems and she just said, Jesus loves you. He's always there. And that comforts my heart a lot. You don't know how it means. I mean, sometimes you think like you can give money, you can give gifts, you can give whatever just to, you know, let that person feel good. But you don't know that some people like just to hear some words just to comfort them. And that means that, I mean, in my situation, that means a lot to me. That I just feel her presence with me and Armin and just a hug that, you know, there is a God who can forgive and he is with you. That means a lot. That's how I come to know Jesus. Because in my background, there Allah does not forgive. He's punishing you. He's doing, that's it. If you messed up, you messed up forever. There is no mercy.
So when did you come to Jesus? What happened on that day? Do you remember?
I did not come to Jesus the same day Nancy told me to give my heart to the Lord, seriously, because I was still fighting myself to know who's the true God.
Mm-hmm.
It took me for, 5 years, I will say, since I know Nancy, because it was too hard for me to accept that, because I've been believing on something for like 30 years, something else. But I came to know somebody else, that he is a true God. He does this, all the miracles he's done before, the way how he treats people, just, knowing about him and studying that. So I don't have the exact day, but I am thankful that I know him, that I'm walking his way, and that he is loving me and he's still there for me and he never forsake me or leave me. And that's give me comfort in my life. And yeah. I want to worship that God who
is. What's happened since he came into your life?
My life has been changed. I have a normal life. As everybody, legally married, kids, I'm taking care of them. And that's all I need. Money goes, money comes. It's okay.
Good. And that's a change for you.
Yes.
That's good. That's good. Well, thank you. Give her a hand. She did good, Nancy. Like I said, you never know what's going to happen when you come in. All right. Now, what I want you to do is we're going to break up into a group. You're going to get with somebody else. Two people. Not three, not five. Two people. Okay? And what I want you to do is I want you to get with the person. And on my direction, we're going to go through each one of these. And you're going to get just, I want you to boil down. They'll help you boil down to where you can say it in just one, two, three sentences. Not a long thing about what it was like before, how you met Jesus, and what's happened since. Okay? All right? So, right now I want you to get with somebody else. Carrie needs somebody to come to her, but everybody else can get up and move. Okay? Right now. Link up with somebody. Find someone and sit down with them. Don't start yet. Let's go. Find someone and sit down with them. Find some seats. Okay, everybody got somebody who needs somebody? Raymond. All right, let's come. Okay, does everybody else have somebody? Good, Raymond, you're up here with me. All right, here's the first one. The first one's this. What was your life like before you met the Lord? We're going to start, the first person that starts whose birthday is furthest from today. Okay, find out who's on your birthday. When were you born?
June 15.
When?
June 15.
All right, so you got who's going to do it, right? All right, so that's the person who goes first. And listen to the instructions. I'm going to give you a few minutes, like about 2 minutes, for the first one to start. The other one can interrupt, and because we want to cut down to the meat of it. Okay. So, what are some things that were like in your life? What was it like in your life before you met Jesus? Remember, we're trying to get this down where you can do this in like a 30-second clip to somebody, because you may only have that amount of time sometime. So, what was your life like? We're going to boil it down to where you can get it in a two-sentence statement, okay? That's the first thing we're working on. You've got a couple of minutes. I'm going to stop you and say switch, and then you'll go again, okay? So start now. So you start. All right, the last section, the first person is going to take it. The last section, what has changed? Go ahead and stop what you're talking about now. What has changed in your life? What's been the change that's in your life? Again, if you came to the Lord as a young person, that change is not going to be like that. You understand that? You don't change that. What you can say is, since I came Lord young, I have found that God has done, and just start listing things that God has done for you and His provisions for you. Okay, so that's how we go with that one. All right. So the first person, what are the results since you met the Lord? Okay. Thank you very much. Go ahead and just finish up where you are. All right, I've got an assignment for you. And the assignment's this. When you are at home today, and this needs to be done today sometime, I want you to share your testimony with somebody else. That means you may need to call somebody, okay? And that's fine. If you need to call somebody, call them up. I just want to share this with you. And do it real short. If you are, Armin and Nancy have been married for a long time, so I'm going to let them do that at home together with each other. In fact, you can do it as you're riding away from here. If you do it while you're riding away from here, if you're riding with people, you'll do it. Okay? And so I want you doing it, but I want you just to go over that again. This is going over it with somebody else. If you say it numerous times and get it on down and you think about it, as you're thinking about it, you'll be able to do this in a short period of time. And then you can say to a waiter or a waitress or somebody else that you're intersecting just for a little bit, and you've developed a relationship with. You don't do this when you don't have any relationship whatsoever. But if you develop a relationship with them, you can say, you know, I found in my life that I was just meeting up with a lot. I was hitting the wall an awful lot. My life was just a mess. And somebody told me that God sent His Son to die for me, that my messes could be changed around. So I asked Him to forgive me for how I'd messed up and hurt people. And He came in and took over my life. And I've got to tell you, my life has been so different because the pressures that were there and the attitudes that were there have been changed around drastically. How long did that take? He'll do the same for you if you would come to Him. And that's a simple thing that you can say. You can say it very, very simple, and it changes. So I just want you to hear. Raymond and I were together, and so I know his story a bit. So Raymond, I'm going to get him to answer number three for you. Number three was, since you met the Lord, what's different?
When I first became a Christian, I was probably about 36 years old.
Now, I just want you to do this one.
And
fast.
And things changed a lot, and I was under a lot of pressure. One day I found out that He had carried this pressure for me, and I didn't need to. And it took the pressure and the burdens off of me. And since that time, my life has been a whole lot smoother.
Okay.
And I've learned no matter what, I just stand on that solid rock.
Isn't that good? Yeah. See? But there you go. What we've got is an example, real fast, of what's taking place. Now, you know what? I could, if I'm talking with Him, if I'm having a meal with Him, I could say, like what? Could you elaborate on like what? Sure, He could elaborate on it. He'd give an example of it. And then give another example. And share about what God's done. And so, folks, part of the reason that we are here on the earth after we met Jesus Christ in salvation is so that He can use us to tell other people about Him and how they can have relationship with Him. Okay? That's one of the reasons we're here. So we're going to be up in the situation for you. We want you to be equipped. And then people are going to ask you. You're really going to have people ask you. And when they ask you, we want you to be able to say, you can say what God has done. Okay? Good. Thank you so much for being here today. Let me bless you out, and we'll be dispersed. Lord, we thank You that You reached into our lives and rescued us. And we know that You've called us to be Your witnesses wherever we go. Would You empower this people by Your Spirit that they might easily share? And would You open their eyes to opportunities, Lord? I just ask that people would come into their life that ask them why they're different. That people come in and just are seeking You. Would You lead those people and lead us to those people that we might speak into their word, that if they will believe in their heart and confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, that they'll be saved. Lord Jesus, we give ourselves to You for Your purposes. Thank You for using us for Your kingdom. Amen. Thanks so much, and we're dispersed.